This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Sriya Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. Jelly Batik was established in 1976 by a husband and wife team, Yong Jo and Tong Lai Ying. They took over a batik shop from their boss, Tan Sri Dr. Tan Hien Sin, who was the founder of Singapore-based Crocodile Brand. During the 70s and 80s, it was the only batik shop in the Bukit Bintang area. Locals and tourists normally buy batik shirts before going to Genting Highlands, as it was a requirement to dress in batik attire to enter the casino. The business was good, and Jelly Batik became one of the biggest batik and souvenir shops in Kuala Lumpur. In 1999, their son Colin Yong took over the helm in continuing the family business. I'm now speaking to Colin Yong. Good morning, Colin.
Good morning, Freda.
Okay, Colin, why did you decide to join the family business?
Okay, this is a long story. Not that long. So I was studying in Japan, and I was working in a, after I graduated, I worked in a multinational company. Mm-hmm. And I was working in Japan, Thailand, Southeast Asia. Then my father is getting old. Mm-hmm. Then they asked me to come back and offer me to take over the shop.
Right.
At first, I was hesitant. But then I think I also want to be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. So I take the opportunity and to buy it over from mm-hmm. my father mm-hmm. and want to turn around. So I want to turn around the batik shop, a small batik shop, to become a batik handicraft center. So I take the challenge, at least my corporate world, and so there's no turning back from then.
Right. Okay, so the business has been around 45 years. You took over, you know, over 20 years ago, right? How have you seen the business evolve in the last 45 years?
So although we are in the batik industry, our main customer were tourists.
Yeah.
So during my father's time, his main customer were Japanese students.
Mm.
So like I think like 80% of the sales are from the Japanese students. So like the Japanese come to KL for tour, then they will stop to my father's shop
right.
and to buy souvenirs. Then later the number of Japanese tourists dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time I say, oh, we cannot depend on Japanese tourists only. So I opened the new market, like other European market or Australia or even Indian market.
Mm.
So, and then I also changed the business model. So from a souvenir shop, I changed it to in the batik handicraft center. So I brought in batik artists from Kelantan, Terengganu, and then I brought them to, I set up a batik workshop.
Right.
So the intention was to conduct a batik tour so that visitor come to Jelly Batik, can see how batik is being made. Mm. And then I also conduct batik class so they can experience it. Right. And then at the end, they'll buy something back for their, as a souvenir to go back home. Mm. So during these 40 over years, we have experienced up and down.
Mm.
First is, what I can remember is the year 2001 when the 911 happened.
Mm-hmm.
So the people scared to fly. So there's a drop.
Yeah.
And then year 2003 is the SARS. Yeah, also got Jerry. Then now come to the COVID-19.
Right.
So it's one of the biggest crises we are facing now.
Right.
So so the business model from all the while, we were depending on the tourists.
Mm.
Then now because of the pandemic, we have faced a big challenge. So we have experienced a big drop in sales.
Right.
So we are trying to pivot the business model to local market and then also online business.
Right. Okay. So you want to pivot to the local market, right? And I'm just thinking of the young. Is the young appreciative of batik?
Yes. You always think batik is a very, local Malaysian always think batik is a very traditional, a very old fashioned. They always associate batik shirt to Dato or Tan Sri. Only Dato Tan Sri will wear it.
Right.
Or Cikgu, only the Guru will wear it during on Thursday.
Right.
So this is a big challenge for us to sell to the young generation of Malaysian.
Mm.
Before that, we were not worried because we have the tourist market and we also have corporate market. So we didn't pay much attention to this young market.
Right.
But now because of pandemic, I have no choice. because this young market is our future. We need to educate them the beauty of batik, and I also need to innovate my batik shirt, batik attire to meet their needs, to meet their wants. So I want them to buy the batik, not because it's batik, but because it's beautiful. When they wear it, they like it, they'll get a lot of likes in their social media. This is the direction I'm going to.
Right. I understand you also have collaborations with designers.
Yes, yes, yes. So I hire, we work with this fashion designer, Kevin. Mm-hmm. So because we don't have a fashion designer. I only have a batik artist. Mm. So batik artist and fashion designer actually is two different things. So and Kevin has bring in the new idea, new way of in the fashion, and then combined with our artist so that to produce something new, something different to the market. So with this, I'm thinking to get the attention of the young generation, young market in Malaysia.
Yeah. Right. And how many staff do you currently employ?
I have about 20 over staff now.
Right. Is it easy to attract young talent to join your company?
Oh, okay. I have no problem with that. Like batik artists, I get young artists from school and also designer. They are eager. Some young generation are interested, are passionate in batik batik art as well. So and then I offer them the platform to do what they like. So and the sales for my sales team, I also have a very unique salary platform so that they work hard, they will get more. So I have no problem to attracting young staff. But the problem is for manager level. So this is a difficult part because I'm not big enough. And so to attract graduated student or young people to become the marketing or sales, this is the difficult part.
Right. Okay. So, but now maybe it's better because a lot of people lost their jobs.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right. So when you come to finding new artisans, you don't have to rely on, the Kelantan and Terengganu anymore. Do you still work with them?
Yeah, yeah. Part of my team is from Kelantan. We have two groups. One is they are from Kelantan. They learn the batik from their family. Self-learned. The other group is from, they are graduated from art school, college, so they learn the textile design, art design. So I have a combination of both worlds, I guess.
Right. Okay. And I want to talk a little bit about, attracting and getting new markets in just a moment. I'm here with Colleen Yong from Jadi Batik. Stay tuned to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Beautiful festive moments. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. We're talking about how we can keep batik relevant and fresh. I'm here with Colleen Yong from Jadi Batik. They were established in 1976 by his parents and he's taken his business over 20 years ago. Indonesia has always been very aggressive in getting their own citizens to wear batik. I think you have to wear it at least once a week. It's almost mandatory. Can we do something like this to revive it here in Malaysia?
Yes, sure. This is what I hope our government and the leaders will do that. I go to Indonesia quite often. Yeah, they always wear batik, not even in special occasions, even in daily life.
Right.
I'm also like to Malaysia to be like that. So I want to change my batik to be more approachable. That means not that pricey, more affordable. And then the design-wise also need to meet the current color trend or the fashion trend so that the young generation will not be hesitant to wear it in their daily life.
Right. And in terms of going online and e-commerce, right, was that just something you started recently?
I started many years ago, but I didn't put effort on it because it is one of the challenges in selling batik online is that every piece of my batik is one piece only. So it's it's quite difficult to take every piece, take the picture and then upload it.
Right.
And then at the same time, I also sell it in my shop. So it has the difficult to maintain, keep the inventory record correctly.
Right.
So, but with this pandemic, I was forced to change it. I was forced to, thanks to the pandemic, put effort in the online business. I had to take effort to do the photo editing, get the model to wear it, do the photo shoot. And then the collection-wise, the design-wise also, I can't afford to have every piece is different already.
Right.
I need to have a collection, more standard. This is one of the change that I have to do during this pandemic.
Right. So it's manufactured in-house.
Yes. Not every item is manufactured in-house. We only manufacture some hand-draw batik in-house. For block print batik and other we outsource to other factory.
Okay. So right now, obviously, no tourists, no workshops?
No, we've got workshop.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's
The workshop, batik workshop we target to local market, local student, actually there are a lot of people never heard of Jadi Batik before, or they are interested in batik, but they don't know where to learn about batik, when to experience batik. So I advertise in even Airbnb, all kind of experience platform. And I also do corporate team building activity with batik. So with this pandemic, we do it online as well. I send the batik drawing kits to the staff, their staff, and then we fix one day, one time, we meet online. And then my artist will guide them, we explain to them, and they do it together with Zoom and or Google Meet. So after that, there's some activity they do together. It's one kind of a team building. We did a few times with corporates and also meet some school as well.
Right. So it's very interesting how we have to change our views and ways of, interacting with people.
Yes.
So back when you did the physical workshops, how long do they take? How much do they cost?
We have many choice. The most basic is just colouring. It starts from 30 ringgit per person only. And if you would do bigger or using steel material, then it's about 200 ringgit per person.
Right.
And then my batik workshop is big enough for 100 people at one time.
Mm.
But now during this pandemic, we only can reduce to 50%, that means 50 person. But people still hesitate to attend this type of crowded place.
Mm.
So we have to spread out the area so that to maintain the social distance. And online is also one of the method that we are doing batik classes.
Right. Okay. So you can just go online and then say, I want to go to the workshop, schedule for a class and then take part.
Yes.
Ah. Okay. Very interesting. A large part of your business at one time, as you were saying, was people stopping by to buy batik before heading up to Genting, right? To enter the casino.
Yes.
And then, of course, you saw the Japanese customers, and I'm sure you also saw the Chinese customers, right?
Yes.
And, how do you see consumer behavior changing, though? I mean, whether it's foreigners or whether it's locals.
Oh, okay. Foreigner and local is totally different. Mm. So foreigner, their first time come to Malaysia. So everything they see is new to them.
Mm.
So it's easy to sell to them. So we could sell batik as a Malaysia heritage, Malaysia cultural heritage. And then when they see how batik is being made, they are really easy to buy it.
Mm.
But for local, it's difficult. And local last time, they buy batik just to attend function. So, but now even Genting allow even you wear short pants also you can go inside it. So Genting is no more a key factor in batik anymore.
Right.
So the key factor for local consumer, they have more choice now. We have a lot of intimate batik. It's not real batik. They use a machine to print the batik. But still it's as a batik.
Right.
We also face a challenge in competition from Indonesia or other Thailand. They import their batik to Malaysia. So the local consumer or local customer got more choice to select what batik to buy now. So in Malaysia, we have to take into the consideration, we have to fight their fight the price with them, fight the design with them. Mm. So this is a very challenging. And a lot of people prefer Indonesia batik because although it looks like it's a machine print, they look more detailed and more meet their needs. So right. I need to change that. That's why I get help from fashion designer to do something different.
Right.
Something different that they can't find from Indonesia batik or from my competitors.
Right. So a lot of actually, sure, batik also in Indonesia have their own batik, but a lot of it is just batik prints, right? It's not the process of batik, making batik. I'm looking at your workshop classes, everything from batik coloring to pareo batik drawing and all that. So what is the most popular of all your classes?
Most popular, of course, the cheapest one is the 30 ringgit, the batik colouring design.
Right.
So that one is, we prepare the wax drawing already, and customers just come here to paint colour in. This one, we also do a lot of changes. A lot of other batik artists or batik shop also doing the similar thing.
Mm.
One of my difference is I always change the design. Let's say when doing Christmas, I do Christmas design. Mm. So they can paint some Christmas tree or Santa Claus on the batik, and Chinese New Year, we draw some Chinese lion dance, dragon. And then now March, we are going to launch out some mandala design. So it's more for adults, so that when they do the painting, they then relax their mind. Mm. This is what I'm going to do. Mm. And then, of course, for the other classes that is popular is the scarf. So people come here to draw their own batik scarf, either for themselves or as a gift to their loved one, the present. We do have a lot of customer come here. Let's say their mother is going to have birthday, so they just come here to draw their batik with their name, this their message. So this is only one kind of present, and they spend time on it to make it, and people that receive it will appreciate it and very happy with it.
Okay, you know, all this while you were open, you never had plans to open more stores.
Yes. I have been open in Central Market with other shopping mall as well. But now we all closed down already, and we only have one shop in B near TRX.
I see. So two places now. So it's 45 years old. Are there any grand plans, especially leading up to your 50th anniversary?
Oh, okay. My plan is to make batik more affordable to Malaysia. So I want to make batik as a daily wear. So I want to make a jadi batik from just a batik shop to become a batik lifestyle brand.
Mm.
So everything related to batik, I can do it. And like batik scarf, batik shirt, what you wear to batik painting. You know, it's a batik face mask. It's very popular now.
Right.
Yeah. And then the home furnishing part. So a lot of competitors or customer haven't aware of it. Actually, we can use a batik in home furnishing, like cushion cover, table runner. We did a few projects with hotels as well. So I'm thinking to make it, to promote it to our local consumer or even the international market.
Right.
So my vision is to make batik relevant again in Malaysia. Something is a brand that can represent Malaysia, and then Malaysia that is proud to bring it to overseas or give it as a gift to their foreign friends. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for spending time with us. I've been speaking to Colin Yong from Jadi Batik. You've been listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.